Good evening. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let's pray. Gracious Father, how wonderful to be here to talk about thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That one who came to seek and to save the lost. And so we give thanks, Father, for this opportunity and ask thee for direction of thy Holy Spirit in opening and speaking from thy precious word. We pray and give thanks, Father, in that most wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing number 2 on our hymn sheets. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Wonderful word, that word come. And that's the word of the gospel that God is giving to you tonight. Come. And we started at the beginning of the meeting with that verse that was spoken by the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And we're going to talk about that chapter a little bit tonight. We want to go first of all to chapter 1 of the book of John, a chapter that has been read several times at this conference, but I want to talk about who is this man that Samaritan woman invited the men of Samaria to come and see. He's more than just a man. He is the eternal God. And it's the most wonderful story ever told. But let's go back to John chapter 1 and read a few verses there that tell us about this glorious person, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we find here this person that we're talking about is called the Word. What does that mean? You know, I could stand up here and look at you folks for a long time, and you just look at me and say, what in the world is he thinking? And you don't know until I open my mouth and use words. Then you will know what I'm thinking. God is so infinitely great in His power, in His wisdom, in His creative power to create the whole universe, that there's no way that you and I can comprehend Him. And so He was not known fully until one came who is called the Word of God. He is the full expression of all that God is. You want to know God? Look at Jesus, because He is the Word of God. And here it tells us in verse 1, it has three phrases. In the beginning was the Word, His eternity. And the Word was with God. In other words, He was a distinct personality within the Godhead. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Word was not the Father. The Word was not the Holy Spirit. The Word was the Son of God. And then it says, and the Word was God. In case there's any doubt about the person of the Lord Jesus, He is very God in His person. And then it says the same was in the beginning with God, because there are people who say there was a time when He became the Word of God. No, He always was God manifest in flesh. In the time that He came, He was God manifest in flesh. Before that, He was the Word, the eternal Word of God. And then it says, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He made everything. I have spoken about it before, but I must say I love to talk about the universe. The first creation The creation that He made by the word of His power, He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And so the whole universe was created by the word of His power. We live on planet Earth, a little planet, 25,000 miles to go around that planet. But we are one of the planets circling the sun, and the sun is one star of approximately 300 billion stars in the Milky Way universe. And you know, I have a book at home that talks about the universe because my children know that I love to talk about the heavens. And so in that book, it says there are approximately 250 billion more galaxies in the universe. But it wasn't too long ago I was on the internet and I heard a couple Christian astronomers speaking about the universe. And you know, they have sent telescopes into space now, and so they can see a lot further on. And one of the astronomers said they now calculate between 2 to 4 trillion more galaxies in the universe. The numbers just keep going up. Do you get the picture? I stand there and I say, it leaves me completely behind. It's so incredibly vast. The power, not only to make it, but to keep it in clock-like order. How many thousands of years has the sun been going, has the moon, has the earth been going around the sun? And how many years has the sun been rotating on its axis to create day and night as we know it? Who keeps that in its clock-like order? It's the same one who has created it all. Incredibly wonderful. But then it says in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is light for? We got quite a few lights in here. Listen, is the light saying anything? I can't hear anything. Is it making any noise? No. What's the purpose of the light then? To make us see things. Without light, you can't see. And so it wasn't merely what the Lord Jesus said, but it was His glorious person who was the light. And He showed people who they were. And that's why the religious people of the day when He came into this world hated Him so badly, because the light of His presence showed exactly what they were. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. A person that is blind, can they see the light? No, let's shine a spotlight right in their face. Are they going to see anything? No. What's the trouble? They're blind. That's the problem. And so let's go on here. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is not John the apostle that wrote this book. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Isn't that amazing? That when Jesus came into the world, people were so blind that they did not understand this is the true light that comes into the world. And so God had to send a man before him to say, this is the true light. Sometimes say, if I go downtown Walla Walla on a nice sunny day, and as I go down the street, I say, hey, The sun's shining. Hey, the sun's shining. What they say to me, they say, you crazy guy. Everybody can see the sun shining. But when the true light came into the world, men were so blind that God had to send a man before him to say, this is the true light that comes into the world. Oh, how wonderful to be able to see that true light. He was in the world. Verse 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that amazing? He came into this world in Bethlehem, and his poor mother had to give birth to him in a cow's stable. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger where the animals eat their hay. Who is that laying in that manger? That's the creator of the whole universe. At the same time, he was supposedly a little helpless baby. He was maintaining the whole universe in its order by the word of his power. Incredible to think about. And the first creatures that came down to see this tremendous sight were the angels. And they came down because they had never seen their creator before. For the first time, they were seeing their creator. And I'm sure they must have said, where are these people? People that have the Bible in their hands, the word of God that they had at that time. Where are they? Don't they know what's happened? And they went out into the fields and told the shepherds. And the shepherds were the first to come to see the Lord Jesus, that glorious person in Bethlehem. What a wonderful story it is. He says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is the Jewish people. They didn't receive him either. And then it says in verse 12, wonderful verse, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Isn't this a wonderful verse? This tells you how you can become one of the sons of God. I think it's so amazingly wonderful. Last October, we took a trip, Barb and I, down to South America, and our first country to visit was Chile. And in Santiago, Chile there, we were at the meeting, and there was a young man. He's a university student. He's really from Bolivia, but he was attending the meeting because his mother is a believer in fellowship. And so he came with his mother. And so I asked him after the meeting, he was raised in a Christian home. I said, did you ever accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He said, no, I have never really done it. I said, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to do it now? He says, no, I would like to do it now. And so I says, okay, let's sit down. And I called another brother from the meeting, and we sat down on either side of him. And he says, what do I have to do? I don't understand. What do I have to do? I said, please read John 1:12, and then you tell me. It says what you have to do. As many as received him, how do you receive him? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he looked at that verse and said, believe on his name. Exactly. That's the way you receive him. I said, it doesn't say you have to pray. If you want to pray, that's fine. We'd like to listen to you pray. But it doesn't say that you have to pray, but it's believing on his name. It's that rendition to recognize who he is. So he says, what do I have to say to the Lord in prayer? I said, we're not going to tell you what to say. You say it yourself. And so we all bowed our heads and he talked to the Lord and he received him. I think it was so beautiful to see it. Next day, we baptized him in the meeting room there in Maipú of Santiago, Chile. It was a happy occasion. But that's what it says to do. To receive him is to believe on his name. And then it says, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We've been talking about new birth in this conference. The first time you were born, did you decide to be born? No, none of us decided to be born. That was the decision of our parents. They wanted children. And because of their desire to have children, we were born. And so to be born again, do you do that by your own will or by the will of God? Well, I made a decision. He said, yeah, okay, that's fine. You made a decision to receive him. But you know why you made that decision? Because God wanted children in his family. And because of his will, you were born into his family. I think that is so wonderful. He sends forth his word. And by the Spirit of God, he takes the word and imparts new life to those who hear his word. Just want to ask you, are you listening? It's so important. So many times in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Even if you only got one ear, listen. Because it is that God uses, the hearing of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we come to verse 14. And this is the only verse in the book of John that speaks about his birth as a person in this world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't this wonderful? The Word was made flesh. And so through the Virgin Mary, the Lord Jesus took on humanity. He became a man. It was necessary. You know, God cannot die. And so if he was going to be the substitute to die for our sins, he could not remain merely as God. He had to become a man. It wasn't sufficient to become an angel either, because angels don't die. But men die. And so the Lord Jesus became a man. All of us die because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus was holy. He never sinned, but he chose to die to pay the price of redemption for our sins. How wonderful. And then it says, verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. What does that mean? He that cometh after me is preferred before me. You know, John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus was born. So he came after him, but he was preferred before him because he was before him. Because John recognized this is the eternal Son of God. Wonderful. He was, we know, there is his mother and Jesus' mother in the flesh were cousins. So it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Verse 17, it says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. We've been having in these meetings that God is light. That's the truth, the manifestation that God is light. And we've also heard spoken, God is love. That's the grace. God is light and God is love. And Jesus was the manifestation of God, the full manifestation. In him was grace and truth. And we're going to see how that works out in chapter 4. Let's go over, well, before we go over to chapter 4, I want to go down in the chapter a little bit to read a couple more verses here that I find so interesting. Verse 35 says, again the next day John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. I like that. Come and see. And they followed him, and they saw where he dwelt. Now let's go down to verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. I want to say that to you tonight. If there's someone here who has not come to the Lord Jesus in truth, I say to you, come and see. Investigate it yourself in the precious word of God, who he is. Come and see. And Nathanael came and saw the Lord Jesus as well. Well, I want to go over to chapter 4 because it's interesting, as has been mentioned in these meetings, in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus meets up with individuals. And I see a good amount of individuals in this room. And he has to deal with you as an individual. Because we're all different. And we have all different kinds of problems ourselves. And so he's going to deal with you individually. Can I say to you, come and see. Well, hear this. The Lord Jesus is traveling, and I find it so amazingly interesting. He's going to have to go through Samaria. Verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, the way we calculate time, about noon. There's the Lord Jesus, as a man, wearied with his journey. I thought God didn't get weary. Yes, but he's a man as well. And he knows what it means when you and I get weary, because he, as a man, was weary. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't this interesting? Immediately, there's a problem here. She was very wary. Who is this man sitting there that asking a drink of me? We never, ever hear that Jesus got a drink. But he converses with this woman. And Jesus, it's interesting, he doesn't answer her objections. Notice how he talks to her. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. God is a giving God. So many people think that I stay away from God because God's asking me for this and that and the other thing, and I just don't have that much. God is a giving God. And I find that so beautiful. And if you would have known the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Living water is water like a springing well. I think some of you have seen in certain places in the countryside, sometimes there's a spring of water just comes bubbling out of the ground. Remember on the high plains of Bolivia when we were crossing the Andes on foot, preaching the gospel to the people up there, we came to a place where there's a rock, and in the middle of the rock, there was a hole, and out came this water bubbling. And were we ever thankful? Lay down on our stomachs and drink of that springing water. That's the living water. But the woman says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank of thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And again, Jesus does not answer her objections. Notice, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is the case in the world in which we live. There are many wells that this world is drinking at, and it may satisfy for a brief moment, but then you thirst again. To remember when I was young and liked to play football, American football, with the companions I had, And we'd really enjoy it, going out there Saturday afternoons and really playing hard. But I can still remember coming back home after a football game and the emptiness in my